Hello, everyone, and welcome to the new episode of Sean Hammer, number 14. And as promised today, we are going to be going over Warhammer's Deadliest Warrior. Today's show might be a little short. Got some sad news for some fans of, you know, one of the make-believe figures that I did. But anyway, let's get on with the show here. This is Warhammer's Deadliest Warrior. What I did is I took two of Warhammer's kind of well-known characters today. I've done this before, but usually, but I've done it in the past where we've taken just a hero level character, tooled them up, and fought. But I took special characters today, and on today's roster, I took Deathmaster Snitch against Shadowblade, the Dark Elf Assassin. And what I'm going to do is go through their stats, their war gear, explain how I did everything, and tell you how everything panned out. So let's go ahead and get started with it. First, we have Deathmaster Snitch. When looking at him, he's got a movement 6, weapon skill 8, ballistic skill 6, 4 strength, 4 toughness, 2 wounds, 10 initiative, 6 attack, and 8 leadership. He weighs in at 270 points. He has, for equipment, he has throwing stars. He's got the Cloak of Shadows, which any model wishing to charge or shoot at Deathmaster needs to roll 4 plus to see if he can do that. He's got the Whirl of Weeping Blades. These will be armor-piercing attacks that will cause D3 wounds for every unsaved wound. He has special rules. He has always strikes first. He has a dodge of a 4+, and he's hidden, which we'll get to my thoughts of that, what I did in a minute. Next, we have Shadowblade. He's got movement 6, weapon skill 10, ballistic skill 10, 4 strength, 3 toughness, 2 wounds, 10 initiative, 3 attacks, and 10 leadership. He weighs in at 300 points. And his equipment is 2 hand weapons, the Heart of Woe, Potion of Strength, Rending Stars, which gives him a 3 plus multiple shot with a plus 1 strength, the Dance of Doom, which gives him a 5 plus ward save, Touch of Death, which allows his attacks to have killing blow. And he's got the Hand of Cain. Models lose 1 attack in the base. And he also has the Dark Venom. Not going to go over that because I did not use that in the challenge, because it only affects, it only affects in a challenge, and this is not a challenge. He also has Eternal Hatred, Poison Attacks, and Always Strikes First as well. Now, with going ahead and figure out how I was going to do this, I looked at both combatants, and I came through and I told myself I'm gonna separate this into 200 attack rounds. We're gonna have 200 shooting attacks, 200 basically charge. And how I did that is I broke it up to who won the initiative, and started out with I got initiative, shooting, I got stand and shooting, I got the charge, and second and third turn. What I did for each model, for first the shooting phase, since they both had initiative 10, I rolled a d6. The higher roll of the d6, that would result in who actually got to shoot first. So I went through 200 shooting phases, and I had them shoot at each other, basically. If you died, you didn't get a shot back, and if you lived, you got to shoot back, so forth. Also, with Deathmaster Snitch's ability, what I did on this, on the shooting phase, will be different than the hand-to-hand. Shooting phase, I just did the initiative, then when Shadowblade had to take his attacks against Deathmaster Snitch, he had to roll 4 plus to see him, of course. And the hand-to-hand, I went through and I did virtually the same thing, but what I did is instead of the 4 plus, I took, if Shadow Blade won the initiative, I immediately had him roll the 4 plus. If he didn't roll it, he did not get the charge, but he had to roll the another 4 plus to stand and shoot because of Deathmaster's cheesy ability. So, that being said, I think I covered everything when I went through there, and like I said, I went through 200 combats and 200 shooting phases. And pretty much we'll get to that in a little bit. Leave you guys waiting a little bit for the results, I guess. So let's talk about what's happening in Warhammer lately. We have Beastmen on the way. Supposedly the new Tyranid Codex came out. Haven't got a hold of that. One of the Dark Library's books, Prospero Burns, is going to be on hold into January of 2011 because of an illness with the writer, Dan Abnett. And that's all I've gotten through so much for news. I haven't done anything in the hobby lately. I've looked at some models. I haven't painted or anything. I moved my bedroom around and haven't moved it to different rooms, and I haven't moved my paint desk into my new room, I suppose. But probably going to get started painting some Dark Elves pretty soon. I'm feeling an itch to want to paint, and that'll be good because I haven't painted in a while. I've been having some, just some want to do the hobby issues. I have been doing some Star Wars, and I did some Hero Clicks lately. I'm like a crack addict with these like small games and everything. And haven't done much with the Warhammer hobby. Around in my area, the new Great Lakes Warhammer League, it started. And this is a league of fellas who want to go through and play a couple rounds with scenarios with Warhammer. And I didn't get into it this year. Kind of bitter about a couple things. And most importantly, comp. I will have a whole episode one day how I feel about different league and tournament and countries comp standings and what I think about the whole thing. I think it takes the fun out of stuff when you gotta sit there and you believe you know your army book, which you can pick, and you have your battle plans, and you gotta worry about them telling you no, you can't play this list or that list. So kind of don't like the whole comp system thing. I just like to play the game and play what I have available, and well, that's that. Let's see, anything else? Negative. Okay, well, I mean, it's kind of a drab show, I'm sorry to say, but let's go ahead and, go with my, little plea for emails. Let me know what you guys think of today's episode. Let me know if you guys have any, or girls, have any, ideas of, Warhammer heroes that you want to see pitted against each other. I'll spend the days of rolling and logging stuff, and you can let me know how the shows are doing, what's going on in your neck of the woods for I guess we could go over tournaments. You want to give a shout out to your Warhammer leagues, or you know, buddy birthdays, anything like that. And speaking of, I'd like to say happy birthday to Jason Justice. He's got birthday this weekend, as well as Rick Stringer, buddy of mine. He's got a birthday as well coming up next week. And since I probably won't end up doing a podcast next week, it'll be the week after. I don't know. Might change. I want to wish them both a happy birthday. Anyway, let's go ahead and take a quick break. I'll come back with the results, and we'll wrap it up for today. And see you guys in a moment.
Cool City Games, Blue Water's most complete source for miniature wargaming and sports cards. Cool City Games offers a safe and friendly environment with free open gaming and up-to-date new releases, restocks, and hassle-free special orders. You can even put stuff in layaway. Cool City Games, even offers box and case pricing on cards and collectible miniatures. Located in downtown Port Huron, that is in Michigan for all you out-of-towners, Jeff and Mike are available and ready to serve all your hobby needs. Stop by at 724 Huron Avenue or visit on the web at www.coolcitygames.com.
Well, we're back, and that was, of course, an ad from Cool City Games, a local hobby store here in Port Huron, Michigan. So let's go ahead and first tell everyone that this Warhammer's Deadliest Warrior solely isn't my idea. A buddy of mine, Jason Justice, who was the creator and host of the Miscast podcast, he came up with the idea one day with me, and we went with it. It is also the developmental work of Spike TV's Deadliest Warrior. Without their creative inspiration, we wouldn't have came up with this idea and been able to fool around with a little bit of our imaginary battles between our little miniatures, I guess. Anyway. With sad. I hate to come down and say after a lot of hard battle, dice rolling, that my prediction for the Warhammer Deadliest Warrior, he did not make it, actually. The winner goes to Deathmaster Snitch. I thought for sure Shadowblade had it hands down. It is the finest assassin in Warhammer world. What marks out Shadowblade is a great assassin in the realm of Warhammer on the tabletop compared to against an individual model, against units, I suppose, is Deathmaster has the... He can hide in different units of your opponent, where Deathmaster Snitch can only hide inside of his own units. Second of all, what we'll get at is the Heart of Woe. When Shadowblade dies, he basically blows up, gives everyone a strength 3 hit. That's pretty cool against infantry models, Empire, different elves, some Skaven. Unfortunately, in this matchup, Deathmaster Snitch has a toughness 4, and he also has that dang 4 plus save. And brings me to, I'll explain what happened. First and foremost, Shadowblade, I think, got owned because he had the roll in the shooting phase. He had the roll to see if he saw Deathmaster Snitch. And basically, on the initiative rolls, when Shadowblade won the initiative, he had a roll to see if he could see Deathmaster. And the die rolls were just against him. He couldn't roll that 4+, then Deathmaster would... or Snitch would return fire, and if he didn't kill Shadowblade, Shadowblade would have to roll again. And if he failed again, Snitch would have another free shooting phase. I mean, and when the wounds did hit, Snitch was rolling at a strength higher than Shadowblade. And it's unfortunate that a character of that caliber and point cost couldn't have a better stat value than what Shadowblade has right now. Pretty much shows you about... Oh, anyway, we'll go on. I'll get to that later. So, in the shooting phase, it was kind of weighed heavily on Deathmaster Snitch. Of 200 rounds of shooting, Deathmaster Snitch scored... I'm going to say 73% kill ratio over top of Shadowblade. I didn't see that even with the higher weapons ballistic skill of Shadowblade. Deathmaster Snitch pulled out ahead on that. With Shadowblade's 5+ ward save and 3 toughness, he couldn't do much. And when he did return fire, Deathmaster Snitch had the... he's wounding at the same toughness as Shadowblade because of the Rending Stars, but he's got the 4+ ward save and ability to not be shot at because of his special cloak. I mean, so in the shooting phase, we give it up to Deathmaster Snitch. Combat phase, pretty much closer this time. Was saved, end up being roughly about, was about 58% in Deathmaster Snitch's favor. A little bit better for Shadowblade in this. And he could, in the combat, I took Shadowblade's Dark Venom. And that, not the Dark Venom. The Hand of Cain, where the model loses attack and base contact. I believe that's only supposed to be for challenges, but I went ahead and put that, because this is kind of like a challenge, it went towards that. What brought him up higher in the shooting phase and actually did a hand-to-hand for Shadowblade was actually his Killing Blow ability. When I was rolling for that, he was a monster. I mean, if I could just get past Deathmaster Snitch's 4+ ward save, he was dead like almost every time the Killing Blow went through, of course. On the charge, about 50-50. When Shadowblade won the charge, he lost it because he couldn't see Deathmaster Snitch, but he could return after Deathmaster Snitch did his, it'd be a total of 5 attacks because of -1 in base contact. Shadowblade gave up a good fight. He really did. I took the potion of strength. And I let it be being accounted for both the shooting phase and the first round of combat. It's just that 4+ save the Deathmaster Snitch had was a little bit better than the 5+ Shadowblade had. I mean, it's a sad day. I did put my money, so to speak, on Shadowblade as being a finer assassin. I did account for the Heart of Woe as well. When Deathmaster Snitch was taken down to 1 wound, I mean, when, and he had killed Shadowblade, and those, I did do the roll for the Heart of Woe, and it didn't play that big of a part of, the plan. So, hats off to Deathmaster Snitch in this one. His Whirl of Weeping Blades causing the D3 wounds. Devastating. I mean, when you're rolling 5+ ward save and they're multiplied. Ouch, especially when you're running 2 wounds. Both models had to always strike first. And, I mean, it just came up to this. I think what really won it for Deathmaster Snitch was his Cloak of Shadows and his... and his dodge save rather than his have to buy it Dance of Doom that the Dark Elf Assassin had it. If I could rewrite the army books, I would probably give assassins in general for the Dark Elves a similar ward save. But that's about it. I mean, sad to announce it, but Deathmaster Snitch is unfortunately the winner of the first Warhammer's Deadliest Warrior on Shaunhammer. I might get this all put down into an Excel program so you guys can see the results if you wish. But oh, there was some ties, so don't think it was total bad for Shadowblade. But he's the one I was rooting for, and it's so hard when you got this and not want to like botch the rolls a little bit, you know. But I played it fair. I played it fair for the Skaven players, and yep, they have the finer assassin, basically. In one-off trades. Well, congratulations, Skaven. I hope you're happy, dang it. And, well, that was about it. I'd like to say, again, I'm gonna whore this out. If you got any questions, comments, emails, ideas, shout-outs, please get a hold of me at SeanHammer, SeanHammer, the number 9, at yahoo.com. I believe you can link to it from the website. You can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, My Battalion. Get a hold of me. I mean, I'd love to hear how I'm doing. Let me know if you're enjoying it, what I could do if you like hearing from me, if you think I'm thinking about bringing a random co-host as the new year goes around, I'd get some more money for a extra microphone or such. So I have different people in my area who actually play the different armies. We'll go over different army books and strategies that they have. So, but I don't know if you guys don't get a hold of me and let me know, but that's my plans. You can, and please, I mean, if you feel positive about the show and you feel like leaving an iTunes review, that would be totally helpful. I'm going to do this podcast without ever asking for any money or anything because it's not that important to me to make money off of this or anything, but I just want to know how I'm doing. And emotionally, I guess, if people enjoy it and if I should keep going, you know, after my 1 year of doing this is up. And that's about it. My pathetic pleading, and I think that's about it for today. So until next time, you know, just keep having fun. Play the game. And I have no idea when we do next show on. I might do a whole thing about comp because I brought it up today and my dislikes about the comp system and such. So, you know, just, I'm taking a long pause, but hey, just keep having fun and enjoy yourselves out there. And, like I said, you need to get a hold of me. I'll give you the contact information. Let me know if you think I did something wrong with the Warhammer's Deadliest Warrior. And until next time, bye.